notice that rights in the property are treated on a procedural fair basis, and a person whose right in property is expropriated is entitled to just and equitable compensation. Be it therefore enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. Chairperson and honourable members, the arrangement of sections, I'm not going to go through it. We'll align it with the text of the bill. Page 7, Chapter 1, Definitions and Application of Act. Definitions, Clause 1, 1, 1. In this Act, unless the context indicates otherwise, claimant means a person who has lodged a claim for compensation with an expropriating authority arising from or in connection with an expropriation of property. Constitution means the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa of 1996. Court means A, High Court within whose area of jurisdiction a property is situated. B, a magistrate court within whose area of jurisdiction a property is situated, having competent jurisdiction and designated as such in terms of paragraph B2 in the definition of court in section 1, read with section 9, capital A of the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act 3 of 2000, or C, in the case of intangible property, the court within whose area of jurisdiction the owner of that property is ordinarily resident or has its principal place of business within the Republic. Date of expropriation means the date mentioned in the notice of expropriation, which date must not be earlier than the date of service of such notice. Deliver, in relation to any document, means to deliver by hand, facsimile, transmission, or post as contemplated in Section 24, 3 and 4. Department means the Department of Public Works. Director General means the Director General of the Department. Disputing party means an owner, holder of a right, expropriated owner or expropriated holder who does not accept the amount of compensation offered in terms of sections 14(1) or 15(1). Expropriation means the compulsory acquisition of property by an expropriating authority or an organ of state upon request to an expropriating authority, and expropriate has a corresponding meaning.
Mr. Chair, we oppose the definition of expropriation. And while I have my hand up, Mr. Chen, I have the floor. We've just received a new document that's been tabled minutes ago as we were going through the bill, a legal opinion by G.M. Butlender and U.K. Naidu on the definition of property. Now, it's a new document we haven't seen before. We need time to study that.
Let me refresh your memory in regard to that. That legal opinion has been circulated previously in regard to its various legal opinions on the definition of property. But I felt that it was propitious for members to have that as we go along. It has been previously distributed. Honorable Fritani, and then followed by Honorable Jafta.
With due respect to our colleague, Road Rayer, yes, indeed, this document was circulated. Because I'm the one who had raised a lot of arguments, so to speak, about the definition of property. It was presented.
Mr. Chair, just in clarification, you know, we are flooded with documents and papers dated a month ago, 2 weeks ago now, and we have to keep track of them and make sure that we keep track of changes. So that's why I've raised it. So thank you for the clarification, but it's no need to be facetious about it. I've just received the document, and I just see a new thing landing on my desk, and I need to know and make sure what it is. If it's exactly the same as a previous document, that's fine. That was also the nature of my question earlier on with new documents. So sometimes we have two or three copies of the same document. That's creating confusion. But thanks anyway.
Honorable Dreyer, I'm not sure who is being facetious now. I think members are trying to assist with information that the document has been tabled previously. It's my responsibility to inform the House. And Honorable Fultani, when he articulates that this is indeed the question, I don't think that he's being facetious. It's going to be a long day. I think it's our first meeting. At least let us try and be civil to each other. Honorable Chester, welcome, sir, and welcome, Baba Stoli. Chabula kubona baba.
Thank you, sir. No, sir, I've got a problem with the definition of the disputing party, especially when it is read with the Section 34 of the Constitution. Whereas it is said, Section 34 of the Constitution provides that everyone has the right to have any dispute that can be resolved by the application of law, deciding, and blah, 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 blah. But here, in our definition of the disputing party, it seems as if it's confined only to the person who is not accepting the amount of compensation. I'm having that problem here. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Mazo.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. No, I think maybe the colleague, when he's referring to the Constitution is broad because there may be other disputes, but this one is specific on the expropriation between the expropriation holder as well as the owner or the holder of the rights. So if you expropriate, you don't expropriate to anyone. It may that the loan belong to Honorable Chapter. You know, he has got a right, you know, to dispute because he is relevant on that particular matter. But the Constitution is broad because the other dispute, it may not be the expropriation one. It may arise just when we are buying a property, you know, and then there is a dispute. So one of the disputee and the disputer can also dispute on that particular matter. That's why this one is specific because it's talking about expropriation. Thanks.
Thank you, Member. Honorable Chafta, I'm giving you the opportunity, but I'd also like to remind you, even if your colleagues have articulated views and you are not happy with those views, it's for the party also to submit the written objection to a particular clause and say that in regard to this particular clause, these are the reasons why we don't agree with it, even after this. Yes, sir.
No, I don't know, Chairperson, whether the Honorable Member understood me, because, yeah, my problem is that in this definition, it says the disputing party means an owner or holder or writer or expropriated owner or expropriated holder who does not accept. It's only limited to that, which means the owner cannot dispute anything except the acceptance of compensation. That's where my problem is.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. The term disputing party is used in the bill exclusively in respect of claims of compensation. That does not mean that any other affected person contesting the rationale of the expropriation cannot bring a matter to court. The bill expressly allows that. So it's just that disputing party here is used in respect of claims of compensation.
Thank you very much. Did you have your hand up, Mr. Fultani, Honorable Fultani, sir?
Yes, I just wanted to point out that we had quite a protracted discussion and argument on this. The same viewpoint was expressed quite vociferously by the EFF, and we deliberated very, very extensively. And I think finally, Honorable Chafta may not have been present on that day, I would concede, But I know that we came to the conclusion that, you know, where this kind of definition suffices in this context, and any other objection or viewpoint which is not covered here, you know, where a political party is more than welcome to raise their objections, you know, their own. I know we had quite an interesting argument on it. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, members. Madam, shall we move?
Page 8, expropriated holder, means a holder of an unregistered right in property, which right has been expropriated by notice in terms of Section 8(1) or in terms of Section 9(1)(b). Expropriating authority means an organ of state or a person empowered by this act or any other legislation to acquire property through expropriation. Holder of a right means the holder of an unregistered right in property. Land parcel means land that has been surveyed and is either registered or yet to be registered in a deeds registry. Master means the master of the High Court. Minister means the minister responsible for public works. Notice of expropriation means a notice contemplated in Section 8. Organ of state means an organ of state as defined in Section 239 of the Constitution. Owner in relation to property or a registered right in property means the person in whose name such property or right is registered. And A, if the owner of any property or registered right in land is deceased, means the executor of his or her estate, and if no executor has been appointed or his or her appointment has lapsed, the master. B, if the estate...
Second, please. Honorable Fultani.
Thank you, Chair. Just for the sake of thoroughness, Minister, public works should be in capital letters. I think we're referring to a particular department. I think so. Just
that's
as I repeat, just for the sake of being thorough.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Owner, in relation to property or a registered right in property, means the person in whose name such property or right is registered. And A, if the owner of any property or registered right in land is deceased, means the executor of his or her estate, or if no executor has been appointed or his or her appointment has lapsed, the master. B, if the estate of the owner of any property or registered right in land has been sequestrated, means the provisional or final trustee of his or insolvent estate, as the case may be, or if no such appointment has been made, the master. C, if the owner of any land or registered right in property is a company that is being wound up, means the provisional or final liquidator of that company, or if no such appointment has been made, the master. D, if any property or registered right in property is vested in a liquidator or trustee in terms of any other law, means the liquidator or trustee. E, if the owner of any property or registered right in property is otherwise under a legal disability, means his or her representative by law. F, if any land or registered right in property has been attached in terms of an order of a court, means the sheriff or deputy sheriff, as the case may be. G, in the case of a public place, road, or street under control of a municipality, means municipality. H, for the purposes of Section 5, includes the lawful occupier of the land concerned. And I, includes the authorized representative of the owner, which authorized representative is ordinarily resident in the Republic. Possession includes the exercise of a right. Prescribed means prescribed by legislation, by regulation. Property means property as contemplated in Section 25 of the Constitution.
Mr. Chair, we strongly oppose this definition, thoroughly inadequate.
ANC? Yes,
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. We support this definition. We have deliberated on it, and then we did indicate that this clause is broad because you can't just reduce the definition of the property.
Honorable Fultani.
Well, thank you, Chair.
I think I'm on record having raised quite an issue about this definition of property, and this, of course, is aligned with my earlier objection about the 1913 date. Where it's one area we will also raise our objection to. Thank you.
I see no further hands, so we may move.
Public interest includes the nation's commitment to land reform and to reforms to bring about equitable access to all South Africa's natural resources in order to redress the results of past racially discriminatory laws or practices. Public purpose includes any purpose.
Mr. Chair, we oppose that definition.
That will be noted.
Yes.
I see no further hands.
We agree on it.
Noted.
Registered means registered or recorded with a government office in which rights in respect of land, minerals, or any other property are registered or recorded for public record in terms of any law. Regulation means a regulation made in terms of Section 28. Service in relation to a notice means, as contemplated in Section 24(1), to serve by delivery or tender, post, publication, or in accordance with the direction of a court, and serve has a corresponding meaning. This Act includes the regulations. Unregistered right means a right in property, including a right to occupy or use land, which is recognized and protected by law, but is neither registered nor required to be registered. Valuer in relation to land means a person registered as a professional valuer or professional associated valuer in terms of Section 19 of the Property Valuers Profession Act 2000, Act No. 47 of 2000.
Mr. Fultani, sir.
Thank you, sir. I'm just concerned about this definition of unregistered rights, as we see in page 9. When we compare that with the definition of an owner, as reflected in page 8, I want to think that we should add that now also includes unregistered rights. Otherwise, that definition of an owner necessarily excludes holders of unregistered rights. Can we reflect on that, please? I'm not standing necessarily on uncomfortably firm ground, but this is the thought that comes to my mind. Where do you register as owners, you know, those people who have unregistered rights? And we've got quite a lot in South Africa as we speak. Thank you.
Honorable Madrope, and then I would like to hear Mr. Mary.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. I think it is covered here. I think we deliberated on it. We even included unregistered, you know, because legally speaking, maybe they will advise us. If we are saying owner, I think it's something like you must have a proof of ownership and so on and so forth. But I think it is covered because I think the colleague is correct to say that a lot of people have got property, but it's unregistered. So that's why it's included here to cover that, to say even those that are unregistered. But we can't just make a definition of the owner and unregistered the same the way I think of it, because legally speaking, maybe ownership needs a proof of this. But if it is covered that unregistered people also are covered on this, I think it will assist us, because a lot of people does not have ownership. But I'm not sure, maybe we can get an advice from the legal team to say ownership. Can we say if a person is just having unregistered without a proof of ownership is an owner, or we'll say unregistered owner?
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Mr. Mary.
Thank you, Chair. The bill goes to some length to ensure that persons who have unregistered rights are indeed treated fairly. It's stated in the preamble. The problem is that the definition of owner speaks to people that have registered rights in land, including full ownership. Registered rights in property, sorry. And for that, we have numerous offices that record those rights. The problem with unregistered rights is that they are not recorded, and therefore, the bill deals with them separately. And efforts are put in place to ensure that persons with unregistered rights are duly established and that they have an opportunity to put forward a claim for compensation or other treatment. So unfortunately, we cannot include people with unregistered rights in the definition of an owner. The very nature of it doesn't allow.
Honorable Fruten. Thank you, Chair. Let me just put this question succinctly. Can one own an unregistered right or not? Takers not help me? Can one, a person juristic or natural, own an unregistered right, yes or no? Yes. If not, then in what capacity would you be a player if you have, let me do away with the word own, if you have an unregistered right, in which capacity would you then be allowed in law to stake a claim and say, I want so much compensation for my unregistered right? Okay, thank you. Parliamentary legal advisor first.
Chairperson, hopefully I'll try to assist and put it like that. First of all, if you look into page 8, the meaning of or the definition of holder of a right, it means the holder of an unregistered right in property. That's the first point. And secondly, when we go to clause 7, clause 7, 7 1A, it says if an expropriating authority intends to expropriate, what, it must serve a notice of intention to expropriate on the owner and any known holder, which links up to the holder that I read, the definition of a holder of a right in property, and then the process follows. So I think that would cover then the holder of an unregistered right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Baba Fultan, if there's anything that you want to add in writing, you may do so at the appropriate time. Shall we move, good folks?
Okay.
We are Amugela, Baba Stoli. Lamine. Hey, we are Tagata Stola. We are Tagata Stola. I meet you with strong Stola. Baba Lamin, Ufunok Tata in Tlantla Yakuba. Welcome, welcome, member. Shall we move, madam?
Subclause 2A, a Saturday, Sunday, or public holiday must not be reckoned as part of any period calculated in terms of this Act. B, the period 20 December to 7 January inclusive must not be reckoned as part of any period calculated in terms of this Act.
Baba Stole, not Baba Zamine.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm trying to understand the exclusion of Saturday, because most of the time Saturdays are treated as normally day, if that Saturday can be included in this.
Madam legal advisor, working days, Honorable Sitole, speaking about Saturday. Okay, let me start with Honorable Member May.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think we are agreeing with this because under normal circumstances, Saturday and Sunday is not counted as a normal working day, because on Saturday is half day. So, in other words, if we include it, it can even disadvantage many of our people. Thank you.
On what my colleague is saying,
government offices, they work up to Friday most of the time. And it's also a half day. Maybe that's why it can't be suitable to be included.
Parliamentary legal advisor or anybody in regard to working days?
Chairperson, the number of days, we took that from the Interpretation Act that says the court days or the working days is the Monday to a Friday, Chairperson. And also to also add on the discussions that were held, I think in respect of the concern that then the days are shorter, we need to extend the period in order for people to have enough time and all of that, it would then make sense to exclude the weekends and the public holidays so that you don't disadvantage people on those days, because nothing much will be happening in respect of the process on those days. Thank you, Chairperson.
But usana ithuba yawubhala mabhala.
Clause 2, application of Act 2 sub 1, despite the provisions of any law to the contrary, an expropriating authority may not expropriate property arbitrarily or for a purpose other than a public purpose or in the public interest. Sub 2, subject to Section 22, a power to expropriate property may not be exercised unless the expropriating authority has, without success, attempted to reach an agreement with the owner or holder of an unregistered right in property for the acquisition thereof on reasonable terms. 3. An expropriating authority may expropriate property in terms of a power conferred on such expropriating authority by or under any law of general application, provided that the exercise of those powers are in accordance with Sections 5 to 27 and 32.
I think we may proceed. I see no hands indicating a need to comment.
Chapter 2, powers of Minister of Public Works to expropriate. Powers of Minister to expropriate. Clause 3, sub 1. Subject to the provisions of Chapter 5, the Minister may expropriate property for a public purpose or in the public interest. 2. If an organ of state other than the expropriating authority satisfies the minister that it requires particular property for a public purpose or in the public interest, then the minister must expropriate that property on behalf of that organ of state upon its written request, subject to and in accordance with the provisions of this Act. 3.
Mr. Chair, we object to the must. The minister could or may, but not must.
The objection is noted. Honourable Member May.
Honourable Chair, it's just the numbering thereof. I think because we are now on Chapter 2, it should say 2.1, not 3.1.
It's closed.
Clause 3, Honourable Chair. Three, the minister's power to expropriate property in terms of subsections 1 and 2 applies to property which is connected to the provision and management of the accommodation, land and infrastructure needs of an organ of state in terms of his or her mandate. Four, where only a portion of a land parcel is expropriated, the minister may expropriate that portion together with the remainder of the land parcel, provided that A, the owner so requests, and B, the minister is satisfied that due to partial expropriation, the use or potential use of the remainder of such land has become so impaired in consequence of the expropriation that it would be just and equitable to the owner to expropriate it. 5. When the minister expropriates property in terms of subsection 1, A, the ownership of the property vests in the relevant organ of state on the date of expropriation. B, the date on which the right to possession of the property vests in the relevant organ of state must be determined in terms of Section 9. C. The relevant organ of state is liable for the fees, duties, and other charges which would have been payable by that organ of state in terms of any law if it had purchased that land. And D. All costs incurred by the minister in the performance of his or her functions on behalf of an organ of state must be refunded by the relevant organ of state within a reasonable time. Clause 4, delegation or assignment of ministers' powers and duties. 4 sub 1, subject to subsection 2, the minister may either generally or in relation to a particular property or in relation to a particular case delegate or assign to an official of the department any power or duty conferred or imposed on him or her in terms of this act. Two, the minister may not delegate or assign the powers or duties conferred on him or her in terms of sections 3, 22.1, 23.1, and 28.
We are still together. I see no indication. We may move, Madam.
Chapter 3, Investigation and Valuation of Property. Clause 5, Investigation and Gathering of Information for Purposes of Expropriation. 5 sub 1, when an expropriating authority is considering the expropriation of property, he or she must, amongst others, ascertain A, the suitability of the property for the purpose for which it is required, and B, the existence of registered and unregistered rights in such property and the impact of such rights on the intended use of the property. 2, subject to subsection 3, if the property is land, the expropriating authority may, in writing, A, for purposes of subsection 1A, authorize a person or persons with the necessary skills or expertise to, 1, enter upon the property with the necessary workers, equipment, and vehicles at all reasonable times or as may be agreed to by the owner or occupier of the property, 2, survey and determine the area and levels of the land, 3, dig or bore on or into the land, 4, construct and maintain a measuring way or in any river or stream. 5, insofar as it may be necessary to gain access to the property, enter upon or go across another property with the necessary workers, equipment, and vehicles. And 6, demarcate the boundaries of the property required for the said purpose. And B, authorize a valuer for purposes of ascertaining the value of the property to enter upon the land and any building on such land or to do the necessary inspections and investigations for that purpose. 3, the person or persons contemplated in subsection 2A and B may not enter the property unless authorized in writing by the expropriating authority to do so. And A, the owner occupier of the property has consented thereto in writing after being informed. B, the owner of the property has consented in writing to the performance of an act contemplated in subsection 2A or C. In the event of the owner-occupier refusing or failing to grant consent contemplated in paragraphs A and B, is in possession of a court order authorizing the expropriating authority and such person or persons to enter the land, including any building thereon, for purposes of conducting the investigations contemplated in subsection 2. 4, the valuer contemplated in subsection 2B may A, require the owner or occupier of the property to give him or her access to a document in the possession or under the control of the owner or occupier that the valuer reasonable requires for the purposes of valuing the property. B, extract information from or make copies of a document to which he or she is given access to in terms of paragraph A. C, in writing, require the owner or occupier of the property to provide him or her either in writing or orally with particulars regarding the property that he or she reasonably requires for the purposes of valuing the property. And D, despite the provisions of any law to the contrary, require the municipality in whose area the land is situated to provide such valuer 1, insight into building plans for improvements on such land, 2, a copy or copies of building plans on such land at the cost of the valuer or valuers, and 3, such information in respect of municipal property rates or other charges, land use rights, including the zoning of the land, availability of engineering services to such land, or such other information with respect to the land as is in the possession of the municipality and as may be reasonably required for the valuation of the said land by the valuer. 5, the expropriating authority must, if the information has not already been established at any time before deciding to expropriate property. By written notice.
Just a second, please, ma'am. Honorable Fritani, sir.
Just going back to on page 13, D2 in Roman, copies of building plans. As you know, there are always two sets of building plans, those that your architect or draftsman would have drafted, as well as those that have been approved by a relevant authority. I want to assume that, you know, everybody will be having approved plans. But perhaps for the sake of thoroughness, maybe it won't hurt, but rather will help if we say approved plans rather than plans, just plans.
Any comment as to what informed the reasoning of just articulating plans instead of approved plans? Mr. Mayrin, say
thank
one
you,
of your colleagues was tasked with that particular aspect.
Subclause 4D says specifically that the expropriating authority is requesting the municipality to provide such documentation. And if we then go to Roman 2, a copy or copies of building plans, that means it is the approved building plans in the possession of the municipality. So we find it unnecessary to use the word approved in that instance.
Tata Frutanis, I beg to differ. That is exactly where you find, in the same office, plans which are in the process of being approved, but not yet approved. And in some cases, they sit there for over 3 months. Over 3 months. That's what we're experiencing in BCM as we speak, Buffalo City. Hence, there is a big talk about the development in Beacon Bay, which has not been approved. But they've gone on to build at the Beacon Bay crossing, spent hundreds of millions. There's a big court case coming, exactly because a developer has gone to develop land there without having approved plans, because they got impatient with the municipality, which was delaying matters way beyond their tolerance. So it is a fact that you can get two different sets of plans. We need to be specific. If not, let's understand why we don't want to be specific. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Dreyer.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I understand your ruling at the beginning was that we just indicate oppose or agree and we have no further motivations, because otherwise we're going to get into speeches. We've debated it thoroughly. So that's what I've done. I've just said oppose or get quiet and let it go through. But if you are going to allow, then obviously we would also like to take the opportunity to debate items once again.
Honorable Dreyer, you are correct. As far as possible, if there is a substantial area of disagreement, let us articulate that. But she's correct. I did say that we should not rehash and open debates and cover areas where we have covered before. Let's be mindful, let's try and not be mechanical. It's not in all instances where we'll just be able to say agree, disagree, but within reason, so as to be able to make our process as workable as possible, members. Point taken, shall we proceed?
I'll read five again, Chairperson, through your permission. An expropriating authority must, if the information has not already been established at any time before deciding to expropriate, A, by written notice, call upon the following persons to furnish in writing within 20 days from delivery of the notice, subject to Section 25, the names and addresses of all known persons holding unregistered rights in the property, as well as particulars of such rights. A, an owner. Roman 2, a person apparently in charge of the property, and 3, any holder of unregistered rights in the property known to the expropriating authority. B, if the property is land, consult 1, the departments responsible for rural development and land reform, for environmental affairs, for mineral resources, and for water and sanitation, and any other organ of state whose functions and responsibilities will be materially affected by the intended expropriation, for the purposes of establishing the existence of and the impact of expropriation on rights therein, and 2, if applicable, with the municipality as contemplated in Section 6. 6A, a person authorized in writing to perform an act contemplated in subsection 2 must 1. Provide the owner or occupier of the property with a copy of the said written authorization. 2. At all times, whilst performing any such act, be in possession of such written authority. And 3. Identify himself or herself to the owner or occupier of the property by means of an official identification document. B. If the person contemplated in paragraph A fails to comply with subparagraphs 1, 2, and 3 of that paragraph, the owner or occupier of the property may refuse that person entry to the property or may refuse the performance of an act contemplated in subsection 2. 7. If the property in question is damaged as a result of a performance of an act contemplated in subsection 2, the expropriating authority must repair to a reasonable standard or compensate the affected person for that damage after delivery of a written demand by the affected person and without undue delay. 8. Any legal proceedings arising out of a claim referred to in subsection 7.
Honorable Dreyer.
Number 7.
Could you kindly just adjust your mic?
It says if the property in question is damaged as a result of the performance of an act contemplated, the expropriating authority must repay or compensate that person. Now, I heard the legal advisor said to a certain level or to satisfaction. It's not in the document that I have before me, and I am reading from the 10 November one, which you said was the same as the one submitted today. So we need to clarify that it is in fact exactly the same. You told me that it was the same. Yes, that was handed out this morning. I've worked on the one 10th November, but I was told it's the same. Page 14.
Thank you. Parliamentary legal advisor.
Where does the 72 so that it's damaged to a reasonable standard? Madam, Mr. Chair, I see the one that you handed out this morning does say, as the legal advisor has read it, the parliamentary advisor, to a reasonable standard. That's not the one, the copy I have in front of me, but then it's correct. We were happy with that because our concern was the standard of repair.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
See, that's the problem. We've got so many documents. You don't know whether
you may switch off your microphone. Honorable Madro.
No, Chair, I don't know what was the query because in the previous one, this particular matter was raised and then it was included reasonable standard in the previous discussion.
Honorable Dreyer did say that she has looked at the document and it's fine. Shall we move, Madam?
Subclause 8, any legal proceedings arising out of a claim referred to in subsection 7 must comply with the relevant provisions of the Institution of Legal Proceedings Against Certain Organs of State Act 2002, Act No. 40 of 2002. Clause 6, consultation with the minister.
Just a second, please. Honorable Chafta.
I'm having a little problem concerning the 20 days that is given to furnish the information about the owner and everybody who had a right in the property, especially that where in page 16, when we talk of the information sought from the municipal manager, there is an additional of and it is where he said it's 20 days, the municipal manager must provide the information needed within 20 days of receiving the request or within a reasonable time to be agreed between the expropriating authority and the municipal manager. I thought even there in page 14, chapter 10, that addition should be made also of a reasonable time because I don't regard 20 days as a reasonable time for someone to end up the information that is requested. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Just two thoughts there. First of all, just wish to remind honorable members that when we talk about days, it's working days, so 20 working days is actually a traditional month. And then secondly, the inclusion of clause 25 on page 43 of your document, that does allow, if there's good cause, for any period stated in the bill to be extended.
Thank you very much. Baba Jafta, could you kindly adjust your mic?
Thanks, sir. But I would like to understand why is the here in page 16, the same 20 days, there is the addition there that or within a reasonable time to be agreed between the expropriating authority and the municipal manager or determined in terms of section 25, whereas there is no such, but we talk of the same 20 days, working days or no working days.
Is there anybody who can provide clarity in regard to the two instances referred to by Honorable Jafta by way of information so that my ship can move? It will take 20 days to find a solution. Honorable Fultani, thank you very much.
I think, Chairperson, what I'm saying, I don't want to complicate this, is that we only insert that addition also to make this our act consistent, that in where we have 20 days, we also give that a reasonable period to do this. Thanks very much.
Okay, shall we proceed?
Clause 6, consultation with municipality during investigation. 6(1), when contemplating an expropriation of land, an expropriating authority must, if not already established in writing, request the municipal manager of the municipality where the land is situated to inform the expropriating authority of the effect which the purpose for which the property is being acquired may have on municipal planning. 2, the request contemplated in subsection 1 must include a statement that the expropriating authority is contemplating the acquisition of land, b, a full description of the land in question, c, details of the purpose for which the land is required, and d, such other details as the expropriating authority may deem necessary. 3, the municipal manager must deliver a written response to the request contemplated in subsection 1 to the expropriating authority within 20 days of receiving the request or within a reasonable time to be agreed between the expropriating authority and municipal manager or determined in terms of section 25. 4, if the expropriating authority is the municipal council of the municipality where the land is situated, the request contemplated in subsection 1 is not required. Chapter 4, intention to expropriate and expropriation of property. Clause 7, notice of intention to expropriate. 7(1), If an expropriating authority intends to expropriate property, it must A, serve a notice of intention to expropriate on the owner and any known holder of a right in the property, and B, publish the notice of intention to expropriate in accordance with Section 24 sub 2. 2, a notice of intention to expropriate must include A, a statement of the intention to expropriate the property, B, a full description of the property, C, a short description of the purpose for which the property is required and the address on which at which documents setting out the purpose may be inspected and particulars of the purpose may be obtained during business hours. D, the reason for the intended expropriation of that particular property. E, the intended date of expropriation or, as the case may be, the intended date from which the property will be used temporarily and the intended period of such temporary use. F, the intended date on which the expropriating authority will take possession of the property. G, an invitation to any person who may be affected by the intended expropriation to lodge with the expropriating authority at a given address within 30 days after the publication of the said notice, subject to Section 25.1, any objections to the intended expropriation. 2, any submissions relating to the intended expropriation. 3, a postal address of and a facsimile number, if any, to which further communications to such person may be addressed by the expropriating authority. And 4, the choice of official language for the purposes of further written communication. H, a directive to the owner or holder of a right contemplated in subsection 1A to deliver or cause to be delivered in writing within 30 days of service, subject to Section 25.1, the names and addresses of any holders of unregistered rights and particulars of such rights, either than those furnished in accordance with Section 5A, to the extent that such names, addresses, and particulars are within the knowledge of the owner or the holder. And 2, a written statement stipulating the amount claimed by him or her as just an equitable compensation. I, a statement that if a person has an unregistered right in respect of the property of which the expropriating authority has no knowledge when making an offer of compensation, the expropriating authority may adjust that offer. And J, a statement drawing the owner or the holder's attention to the provisions of Section 27. 3, if the property contemplated in sub 1 is land, the expropriating authority must also deliver a copy of the notice referred to in subsection 1 to A, the Directors General responsible for rural development and land reform, to Environmental Affairs, for Mineral Resources and for Water and Sanitation, and the accounting authority of any other organ of state whose functions and responsibilities will be materially affected by the intended expropriation, provided that if the expropriating authority is the executive authority of one of the departments or organs of state concerned, delivery of such notice to the relevant director general or accounting officer is not required, and B, the municipal manager of the municipality where the property is situated, provided that if the expropriating authority is the relevant municipal council of that municipality, no such delivery is required. 4, subject to Section 25, an owner or holder of an unregistered right responding to a notice contemplated in subsection 1 must, within 30 days of the service of the notice, or if the notice has not been served on him or her within 30 days of the publication, as the case may be, deliver to the expropriating authority a written statement indicating A, the amount claimed by him or her is just an equitable compensation should his or her property be expropriated, and furnishing full particulars as to how the amount is made up. B, if the property is land, full particulars of all improvements thereon which, in the opinion of such owner or holder of a right, affect the value of the land. C, if the property is land, 1, which prior to the date of such notice was listed as a whole or in part by an unregistered list, the name and address of the lessee, and accompanied by the lease of a certified copy thereof. 2, which prior to the date of such notice was sold by the owner but transfer had not yet been effected, the name and address of the buyer, and accompanied by the contract of purchase and sale or a certified copy thereof. 3, on which a building has been erected which is subject to a builder's lien by virtue of a written building contract, the name and address of the builder, and accompanied by the building contract or certified copy thereof. And D, the address at which the owner or holder of an unregistered right desires to receive further documents in connection with the expropriation. 5, the expropriating authority must acknowledge receipt in writing, consider and take into account all objections and submissions timely received before proceeding with an expropriation. 6, the expropriating authority must, within 20 days of receiving the statement contemplated in subsection 4 in writing A, inform the relevant owner or relevant holder of an unregistered right whether the amount of compensation claimed in a statement is accepted. And B, if the amount of compensation claimed is not accepted, indicate the amount of compensation offered by the expropriating authority, furnishing full particulars of supporting documents in respect thereof. 7A, if no agreement on the amount of compensation payable has been reached between the expropriating authority and the owner or holder of a right within 40 days of the expropriating authority receiving the statement contemplated in subsection 4, the expropriating authority must decide whether or not to proceed with the expropriation. B, if the expropriating authority decides, one, to proceed to expropriate, it must serve a notice to expropriation in terms of section 8.1 within a reasonable time. 2, to continue with the negotiation and compensation in accordance with section 16, it must inform the owner or holder of a right accordingly in writing within a reasonable time. Or 3, not to proceed with expropriation of the property, it must inform the owner of the or the holder of a right accordingly in writing within a reasonable time, and must publish a notice in his or her, or a notice of his or her decision not to proceed in terms of section 24 sub 2.
Honourable Dreyer?
We oppose this section, this whole section. Seven. This whole section 7.
Shall we proceed?
Clause 8, Notice of Expropriation, 8 sub 1. If the expropriating authority decides to expropriate a property, the expropriating authority must cause a notice of expropriation to be served on the owner and the known holders of unregistered rights, as the case may be, whose rights in the property are to be expropriated. 2, the expropriating authority must cause a copy of the notice of expropriation to be A, published in accordance with section 24.2, provided that if the notice of expropriation has taken place for publication in terms of subsection 24.1c, the publication in terms of this paragraph is not required. B, delivered to a holder of an unregistered right in the property on whom he or she is aware and whose rights are not to be expropriated. And C, if the property is land or a right in land, delivered to 1, the municipal manager of the municipality where the property is situated, provided that if the expropriating authority, the municipal council, the delivery of such notice is not required. 2, the director general responsible for the rural development and land reform, for environmental affairs, for mineral resources, and for water and sanitation, and the accounting authority of any other organ of state whose functions and responsibilities will be materially affected by the intended expropriation, provided that if the expropriating authority is the executive authority of one of the departments or organ of state concerned, the delivery of the notice on the relevant director general or accounting officer is not required. 3, a holder or mortgage bond registered in the deeds office in respect of the property concerned. 4, if the property is subject to a contract contemplated in section 7.4c2 on the buyer. And 5, if the building thereon is subject to a lien contemplated in section 7.4c3 on the builder. 3, the notice of expropriation served as contemplated in subsection 1 must contain A, a statement of the expropriation of the property, B, the full description of the property, including 1, in the case where the expropriation applies to a portion of a land parcel, the approximate extent of such portion in relation to the whole, or 2, in the case where the expropriation applies to a right in land, a description of the approximate position of the right in land on such land. C, a short description of the purpose for which the property is required and the address on which documents setting out that purpose may be inspected and particulars of that purpose may be obtained during business hours. D, the reason for the expropriation of that particular property. E, the date of expropriation, or as the case may be, the date from which the property will be used temporarily, and also stating the period of such temporary use. F, the date on which the right to possession and the property will pass to the expropriating authority. And G, except in the case of an urgent expropriation contemplated in section 22, the amount contemplated or the amount of compensation offered by the expropriating authority or agreed to by the expropriating authority and the owner and the holder of an unregistered right, as the case may be. 4, the notice of expropriation served as contemplated in subsection 1 must be accompanied by documents detailing the following: A, the date or dates on which the expropriating authority proposes to pay the compensation and any interest payable in respect thereof in terms of section 13, B, in the case where the expropriation applies to a portion of a land parcel, a survey diagram or sketch plan showing the approximate position of such portion in relation to the whole. C, in the case where the expropriation applies to a right in land, a survey diagram or sketch plan on which the expropriate the approximate position of the right in land on such land is indicated, unless the right in land is accurately described without such survey diagram or sketch plan. D, an explanation of what the offer of compensation referred to in subsection 3G comprised of, together with supporting documents detailing how the offer of compensation was determined, if applicable. E, a directive calling upon the expropriated owner and expropriated holder, as the case may be, to submit in writing the names and addresses of all holders of unreserved rights in the property and particulars of such rights, other than those furnished in accordance with
just section. A second, ma'am. Honorable Fulton.
Just subparagraph D on page 21, the last two words, if applicable. Under which circumstances would this need not be applicable? The need explained in that subparagraph D.
Chair, we have no objection to the removal of, if applicable.
The question by Honorable Fultani, if I remember, he was asking in which circumstances will, if applicable, not be relevant. Is that the correct articulation? So he was asking for information.
We can't offer any such instances.
Oh. Body language, okay. So do I understand that to mean that it will do away with the words if applicable? Thank you very much. Any other comment? If not, shall we proceed, madam?
A directive calling upon an expropriated owner and expropriated holder, as the case may be, to submit in writing the names and addresses of all holders of unregistered rights in the property and particulars of such rights, other than those furnished in accordance with sections 55A and 72H, if any, to the extent that such names, addresses, and particulars are within the knowledge of the expropriated owner. A statement that if a person has an unregistered right in respect of the property of which the expropriated authority has no knowledge when making the offer of compensation, the expropriating authority may adjust that offer. G, a statement informing the expropriated owner and expropriated holder, as the case may be, that he or she may request a translation of the notice of expropriation in the official language of his or her choice. And H, a statement withdrawing an expropriated owner, expropriated holder, or any other person's attention to the provisions of Section 27. 5A, rights in a property may be expropriated from different owners and holders of unreserved rights in the same notice of expropriation. B, a separate offer of just and equitable compensation must be stated in respect of each owner or holder mentioned in the notice of expropriation contemplated in paragraph A. Clause 9.
Please,
we oppose clause 8, 3, and 4. Clause 8, 3, and 8, 4.
accepted. Shall we proceed? Honorable Fultani, you seem to be articulate what you are saying.
Maybe it's about time we had a short break in the next 5 minutes or so.
What happened to that? 5 minutes to that important hour. Madam, Platon Sanha.
Clause 9, vesting and possession of expropriated property. 9 sub 1, the effect of an expropriation of property is that A, the ownership of the property described in the notice of expropriation vests in the expropriating authority or in the person on whose behalf the property was expropriated, as the case may be, on the date of expropriation. B, all others are...
Oppose. 9A1, we oppose.
9A1... Okay, thank you. If I hear correctly, 9-1-A. Madam?
B, all unregistered rights in such property are simultaneously expropriated on the date of expropriation unless 1, the expropriation of those unregistered rights are specifically excluded in the notice of expropriation, or 2, those rights, including permits or permissions, were granted or exist in terms of the provisions of the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act 2002, Act No. 28 of 2002. C, in the case of a right to use a property temporarily, the expropriating authority or the person on whose behalf the property was expropriated may, as from the date of expropriation, exercise that right. And D, the property remains subject to all unregistered rights in favor of a third party, with the exception of a mortgage bond with which the property was burdened prior to the expropriation, unless or until such registered rights are expropriated from the holder thereof.
Mr. Chair, we oppose D.
D has been opposed.
In terms of this act, I'm just finishing D, Chairperson.
Yes.
2A, the expropriating authority or the person on whose behalf the property was expropriated must take possession of the expropriated property on the date stated in terms of Section 83F or such other date as may be agreed upon with the expropriated owner or expropriated holder.
Oppose.
Noted.
Sorry, Chair.
Just on a matter of technical and procedure, I think the member must say which party opposed. Not opposed, then it means it's the whole, because we're going close by close as per party, isn't it?
Mr. Chair, I'm opposing 92A on page 23, and that's the Democratic Alliance.
B? The right to possession passes on the relevant date contemplated in paragraph A to the person referred to therein, as the case may be. 3A, the expropriated owner or expropriated holder who is in possession of the property concerned must, from the date of expropriation to the date referred to in subsection 2 or 4, take all reasonable steps to maintain the property. B, if the expropriated owner or expropriated holder willfully or negligently fails to maintain the property and as a result thereof the property depreciates in value, the expropriating authority may recover the amount of depreciation from the expropriated owner or the expropriated holder concerned. C,
just a second.
The Democratic Alliance oppose 3A and 3B.
That being noted, Honorable Sithole.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, actually, first of all, I'm confused by this opposing, because we have to have an idea what are they opposing. Because if they just oppose, you don't know what are they opposing. So now, but I'm on B, where they, it says the right to. But my concern, Chairperson, is why should expropriated owner or be responsible for maintaining the property that has been expropriated? How will be that owner expropriated recover his expense? Because I'm worried about the expense, because he will maintain and do all what he's supposed to do. But at the end of the day, how is he going to recover those expenses?
Honorable Sithole, let me perhaps just recap. What we are doing today is to go clause by clause through the entire bill. And then in our previous meetings, we debated all the substantial issues around the various clauses. So what we agreed then was that where there is a political party that opposes any particular clause, is the responsibility of the party to also have it in writing. We are opposing this particular clause. This is our different formulation. So that at the end of this process, we are going clause by clause, there will be an adoption of the bill with amendments. So that will be accepted by the majority of political parties. But the opposition to certain clauses that political parties articulate, that will also be appended as part of the record, that in regard to this particular clause, party A, B, or C opposed in regard to these reasons. So what we said, we don't want the committee clerk or anybody to summarize the opposition thus expressed. Each and every political party will do so. So also, in order to expedite the process, our engagement this morning, instead of each and every party re-articulating and re-debating the issues that they raised previously, it's on that basis, if I may use the example, that Honorable Dreyer will say that in regard to this, we oppose. But in certain instances, it might be possible to say that we oppose this, remember, in very short, succinct, as to what's the reason. Honorable Sitoli.
But Chair, it was not proper if we can have those amendments or oppose amendment before, so that we can know what are they opposing. Because now if we say oppose, we don't know what they are opposing. That's my concern, Chairperson.
The issue, Honorable Sitoli, they are able to do that, but all of us, for the past 3 months, if not slightly more than that, in regard to the substantive areas of opposition, they've articulated that previously. So it's there. In our notes, what we have recorded, they've said so previously. So this is why when we began this process, today is to just finish the bill. We are voting on this bill here. But where, as I said, the emphasis is on brief so that we can move the meeting. They can say, we oppose this because previously we have said X, Y, and Z. Mm. So we can assist in a particular case where a member does not remember why another party opposed this. I can say, remind the honorable member very briefly, if that will help us to proceed. Is that a fair summation, honorable members? Honorable Dreyer? So where you'd like to be reminded, honorable Sithole, I will avail that opportunity so that members can make sure that all of us are moving on the same pace, hopefully at the same level, so that we are all
informed in regard to what's in agreement or what's in a disagreement. Shall we move?
Yes. C, the expropriating authority must compensate the expropriated owner or expropriated holder, as the case may be, for costs which are necessarily incurred after the date of expropriation in respect of such maintenance.
Oppose.
The Democratic Alliance opposes.
If the expropriated owner or expropriated holder, as the case may be, desires to place the expropriating authority in possession of the expropriated property prior to the date contemplated in Section 83F, and the expropriating authority does not agree to a date on which the right to possession of the property will pass to it, the expropriated owner or expropriated holder, as the case may be, may give the expropriating authority notice in writing of no less than 20 days before the date on which the expropriated owner or expropriated holder wishes to transfer the right to possession of the property, in which case the right to possession of the property passes to the expropriating authority on that date. 5. The expropriated owner or expropriated holder who is in possession of the property concerned remains entitled to the use of and the income from the expropriated property as was enjoyed immediately prior to the date of expropriation, from the date of expropriation to the date referred to in subsection 2B, but remains during that period responsible for the payment of municipal property rates and other charges, if applicable, and normal operating costs in respect of the expropriated property if the property had not been expropriated.
Mr. Chair, DA opposes this one.
Noted, Honorable Fultani.
Just reading this clause, page 23, 4 at the bottom, together with the earlier clause where we say the expropriated owner or holder would be responsible for the maintenance. I'll just use those general terms. Subject to compensation. Now, if the period is as long as 20 days, let's say I'm the expropriated owner or holder, and I want to get out of the property, I want to get rid of it, I say, government, take hold of it as soon as possible. Why must I be forced, as the expropriated owner or holder, to wait for 20 days? Now, my question is, would I still be held liable for anything that happens to the property whilst I am unwillingly still in possession of the property? So the issue here is about the long period which must be given by an expropriated owner to say, okay, you're expropriating, take care, take hold of it. I want to get out of the property. Why must I have to wait as long as 20 days? Why should it not be sufficient for me to say, take care of the property, I'm getting out? And if anything happens, I should not be held responsible. Because I might want to get out of the property because I can foresee a need for me to spend more on the property. So problem is around the length of the period that I must still be on the property unwillingly. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Madrok.
No, thanks, Chair. I think the colleague is correct to say that they should be. He can have a right to move earlier. But here, we're talking about, we are not looking at one person that would want to leave earlier. There must be a provision for those that will not move same time. But I think if you want to move same time, and we have indicated to the expropriation authority, you can't be liable, you know, for any cost because you are out. They are talking about the people that are there. And I remember when we were deliberating on it, we were saying maybe if now you come to say the expropriating authority saying we are going to expropriate your property, we are giving a notice. The property is in a good condition. And because of that notice, you'll find that they will vandalize. it was a provision to say that even though it's going to be expropriated, it must be maintained on the standard that was found when the notice was issued. I think that is, you can't be liable if you are out, really. It can't be unfair if they say you are liable when you are out. But the provision...
Could you kindly adjust your mic and speak into the microphone?
Okay, thanks, Chair. Yeah. I think the provision covers all because it's not everybody that will want to go out same time. That's the 20 days. Thanks.
Aheme.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The DA is opposing number 5. Can they just in short explain again why they are opposing number 5? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we'll take you up in the offer and later put in details. We've been through it all over again. I'm not going to motivate every clause by clause now.
Okay. Let's move. Honorable Fultani.
I don't know whether you wanted to give our legal gurus an opportunity to express themselves on the issue I raised, or I'm not necessarily objecting, but I was just raising issue for clarity and common understanding. I'm not arguing against anything. Yeah.
I'll give them the opportunity. From what you said, I just thought each case will depend on its merits in regard to that. But I'm not saying that they should not speak, because if I'm given 20 days to move out of a place, and I'm able to say to the landlord or the owner that I'm prepared, I've met all the prescripts to move, send your people to come and inspect the property, that I'm leaving it in as good condition as I found it or I'm selling, then the two parties would be able to decide on that. But legal advisors, department, if you'd like to add, kindly do so. Yes, sir.
Chair, I think you've answered it very well. I don't think there's any need for further clarification on this issue.
Honorable Fultani.
What you have said is contrary to the second line on page 24, because it says no less than 20 days. If it were to say a reasonable notice, I would understand. Because in a given set of circumstances, then there's flexibility. But when it says no less, it means I have to wait for 20 days. I'm forced by law to wait for 20 days for the expropriating authority to respond. But I would rather we substitute that and say a reasonable period of time.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Without dwelling much on the issue, I think the issue really being addressed by this provision here is an issue of practicality, that the expropriating authority require enough time to be able to deal with administrative issues. But it's neither here nor there. I mean, it's again a matter that can be dealt with between the parties affected. It's a case-by-case issue.
Honorable Fultani.
Okay, in that case, Chair, let me formally register our opposition to this particular period.
Okay. Yeah, fine.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Good folks, a chairperson has very few powers. The only power I have is to declare tea time. So shall we break for about 15 minutes to have tea, refresh, and resume after
15 minutes. Shall I say we'll be back at 11:30. Thank you very much.